Okay, so I'm Maria Elena Reese, and we're going to be talking today about Latinos aging in Skid Row, a great population we discovered as I did community and public health with nursing students. And all of a sudden, when we in Skid Row in Los Angeles, when people understood that there was a few of us who spoke Spanish and were Latinos, they started coming out of the woodwork, and I thought, okay, this doesn't merge well with familismo, and why are these grandparents here and aging here and will probably die here? So that's how our study interest began, and I've been working on this project for a couple of years now. I'm working on the next one, and we're funded by the Chicano Studies Research Center. So first, let's give you an idea of the U.S., what's happening with the estimated number of homeless. We have multiple ways of counting the homeless, so we don't have an exact figure depending on who uses what, the timing, the region of the country, what's going on, the purpose of the count that's going on. Best estimates are anywhere from 2.5 to about 3.5 million, including almost 1.5 million children. They've also counted the homeless by on a point in time. In one given night, people go out and start to count them, over 600,000. And about a fourth of all requests for shelters for one night could not be met annually. So the most frequent categories of homelessness in the U.S., we call people frequent users of services. They go once or twice, three times maybe throughout the year, in and out. Then we have about 10% that are chronically homeless, meaning that they may have a disabling condition, homeless for 1 year or more, or four episodes of homelessness within a year. So there's some strict criteria developed by the federal government of what is chronically homeless, so about 10%. Then we have those that are not counted as homeless, but we have a policy issue about that. We have major concerns that there's people that are living on the edge. They could literally fall off and be homeless at any moment. They're living on somebody's sofa. There's living in somebody's kitchen, somebody's garage, and the U.S. recognizes that they're called doubling up, two families in one space. But best estimates now that Latinos may be tripling up, three families in one space. Most frequently reported conditions in the U.S., when we look at the social and the health issues of the homeless throughout the U.S., about a fourth of them have some mental illness, some substance abuse, physical disabilities. 2 to 3% may be HIV positive, and about a fourth of them may have multiple other conditions. What contributes to homelessness? The mainstream literature says in the U.S. it's either loss of jobs, low-paying jobs, or lack of housing. But now we're starting to look at the older and homeless because the numbers are growing. 4 years ago, almost 50,000 people that were considered seniors, however we want to define seniors, were homeless. By mid-century, it's estimated this figure will double, if not be wider. So what our thinking is, what will be going on? What will be happening with Latinos? What's going to happen in mid-century? So we're in L.A., also called the homeless capital of America. It's also been labeled the meanest city in America for the treatment of the homeless. And they're conducting a street sweep as of last weekend, which means they water hose down the street, empty out all the bagging, take out the little carts that carry everything, wipe it out. So best estimates in LA County, about 80,000 homeless on any given night. And where do they tend to concentrate? In Skid Row. So when we compare what's going on nationally versus what's going on in LA County, when you look at the right side, you'll see that there's a little bit of shift. Whereas throughout the nation, about 66% are male, and most of them are African Americans. In LA County, slightly more than 50% are male. That means more females are becoming homeless. An increasing number of minorities are homeless in LA County, 78%. And anywhere from 15 to about 30% might be Latino. And unlike the U.S., which says 2 to 5% are older and aging and is homeless, we have about 33% that are over 55 years old that end up homeless in LA County. So a great number of older people. As we started talking to people, we did a quantitative and qualitative study. We started talking to them, Latinos, and pretty much we got the sense they feel viejos y abandonados. That's pretty much it. We've been thrown out here and forgotten. So we started looking at Skid Row. Skid Row in downtown L.A., for those of you not familiar, it's about 50 to 52 block area. Not small. An average of 8 to 10,000 concentrated in Skid Row area. So how do we explain this, and how do we explain the growing number of Latinos? We aim to study what is the path? What do they perceive that contributed to their becoming homeless? Is the path for them similar or different than what we know about the majority population, which are primarily African-American males? And are there any social political implications? We've teamed up with the Skid Row area, the SRO, Single Room Occupancy Corporation. It has about 20, they vary, but they now have 22 to 30 apartments, which are considered SRO properties. They're very nice. Some of them are emergency housing, then we have transitional, and we have independent living, and some of them are very nice, and they look like mini condos. So once you get into an SRO corporation, you're able to access everything there. So we started talking to people that live in the SRO community and even those that just come to the Skid Row area to access services there. We use some community-based participatory research principles, multidisciplinary. I started with RAs who were nursing students, but their schedules, like with medical students, are so full and compacted that I reached out to other disciplines because we also have a hard time finding Latino, Spanish-speaking, fully bilingual nursing students who can work with me. As many of you may not know, only about 5% of all the nation's nurses are Latinas. In California, it's 2 to 3%. And so the numbers, if you start asking if you speak Spanish or identify Latino, it's even smaller. So I ended up working with Carlos and some other students from philosophy and psychology and education who are Latinos. So we recruited participants from the SRO facilities and those accessing services. We did face-to-face interviews and surveys, and despite being told that we may not be able to get a good number, right now we have 28 taped interviews, majority of them all in Spanish. They're willing to talk to us. We said half an hour. Some of them talked to us for an hour and a half, just talking to us about how they ended up there. So basically, we're titling our study The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, because that's what we came up with that's happening there. Demographics, we have 28 in our study. And unlike the myths that are going on in the U.S. about recent immigrants and because of the language and because of loss of jobs, a lot of our residents and our participants have been there. Only two out of the 28 were in L.A. less than 5 years. The majority of them, longstanding U.S. people, residents, been living there for 5, 20, some 40 years. I'm going to switch over now to Carlos and let him talk a little bit about L.A. and what we actually found out.
Thank you. So I took these pictures, and I'm gonna go over them real quickly in the interest of time. So this is Skid Row area, and you can see the difference from like one block to the next. You'll have like a really concentrated area of homeless people, while in a few blocks you'll have like affluent neighborhoods. And then this is an image of Skid Row. And as Dr. Mariana Reese was talking about earlier about the sweeping, they'll just come and throw away all these people's belongings. And this is where we recruited all the participants. So we categorized all the stories of the participants into the good, the bad, and the ugly. So what we found was that there are multiple factors that intersect that go beyond the simple typology of lack of affordable housing and lack of jobs. There's immigration, the policy, language, and culture barriers, as well as loss of family support. So we asked the participants if there was anything good about living in Skid Row, and what they told us was that they shouldn't complain, and that they're grateful for having housing, food, and transportation, and a place to get clothing and food. So they're grateful for the basic needs for survival versus others that when we asked them this question, they just said, "Ay, mijo, there's nothing to like here," or others that said, "Let me think about that. I'll come back to this." And then we asked them what was not good about living in the area or disadvantages, and they tell us that as far as housing, they have small rooms with no kitchen or private bathrooms. They have nasty toilets and wish that the food that they had was nutritious and cultural comfort food. And they, none of them liked the neighborhood because it was rampant in violence and drugs. And then as far as the ugly, they tell us, one participant told us, the inmates are running the asylum. And there's, as I said earlier, violence and drugs are rampant. There's fights and killings. And there's fights because of racial tension, and the rooms are filled with bed bugs and cucarachas. And there's a lot of feeling of worthlessness because a lot of them can't find jobs. They feel that there's discrimination as in ageism because of people that are homeless and do drugs. They'll because of policy, the way it's set up, they'll automatically get better housing than the elderly. And multiple participants told us that they feel that somebody should keep an eye out for the aging people, that somebody should check on them. So as far as they tell us about several discriminatory practices. This one participant told us about that they'll receive flyers about computers and other classes that they offered, and also talks about AIDS and stuff like that. But this participant doesn't speak English, so none of that would be accessible to him. This participant had some mental health issues, we don't know what came first, whether it was before or after he ended up on the street. He was living with his sister, and he couldn't find work. And his sister, she wanted him to help out with paying bills and stuff, and he couldn't find work. So she said, pues a la calle pues vámonos. And then he says, me tiraron. So he feels like his sister threw him out into the streets. But again, this begs the question whether, the mental health issues came before or after he ended up on the streets. So even within homeless people, they have perception that some have it better than others. This is true with people, populations that have documents versus people that don't have documents. People that have documents would have access to better clinics and would know where to go, versus a person that doesn't have documents wouldn't be able to receive government benefits. And then this particular person told us that sometimes he'll get a prescription from a doctor, but then the same doctor will tell him that he doesn't qualify for the prescription, so they'll just be stuck with the prescription and not be able to fill it. So we unraveled a portrait of older Latinos isolated and aging in Skid Row with complex, poorly managed health conditions. And they had minimum sources of financial and social support. So this makes it especially harsh for monolingual Spanish-speaking people. So imagine being monolingual and then on top of that being undocumented. It'll be really difficult to find resources. So we need to look beyond the simple topology of job loss and lack of housing. We need to closely examine discriminatory and social political practices and inequalities in distribution of resources. We asked the participants what they wish would be improved, and they would like shelter, meals, safer neighborhoods, job training, and comfort foods, and health ed, and places to walk. A lot of them wouldn't actually end up leaving the room because they felt that the neighborhood was so dangerous, so they'll just spend the whole day in their room, so they wouldn't really get any exercise. They told us about several factors that they perceive that contribute to homelessness, which include international global issues, political climate, culture and language, clashes, as well as barriers. So according to the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, everyone has a right to a standard of living adequate for the health and well-being of oneself and one's family, including food, clothing, housing, and medical care. So we need to closely examine the policies that deal with these issues and make sure that they mesh with the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and the U.S.'s position on it. So we'd like to acknowledge our community collaborating partner, Mr. Evan Monroe of the SRO Housing Corporation, and as well as the student research assistants. And that's my name at the top. Thank you.